أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآله. Verse number 210. هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام والملائكة وقضي الأمر وإلى الله ترجع الأمور. Do they await anything but that Allah should come to them in the shades of the clouds with the angels and the matter be decided once for all, and to Allah all matters are returned. There are two initial questions regarding this verse. One is that to whom this refers, because it is a sort of threat of punishment, communal punishment actually. Allah and the angels coming and the whole matter will be decided in terms of destruction and punishment. And second is, what's the meaning of Allah coming in shades of clouds? These are the two initial questions, and then we have to see what the verse means. Now, there are different interpretations about Sha'n al-Nuzul of this verse. One set say that it is revealed with regards to the kuffar of Mecca, that do they await that Allah comes to them for a punishment or sends them punishment. But it doesn't really match the context of the verses. The context of the verses is talking about the believers all through. After the verses of Hajj, it talked about وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. The believers are of two kinds, only one dunya, the others one dunya and akhirah. Then we had وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. There are some people whose talk about this world would amaze you. Then we had the very, very important verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السَّلْمَ كَافَّةً. All you believers enter entirely into Islam. And then there was a threat of punishment, فَأَنْزَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَعَتْكُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ فَأَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. If should you stumble after the manifest proof, then you have to know that Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. And then there is this threat of punishment. So it cannot go back to people of Mecca. It should be something with regards to the believers themselves. In fact, this is one of the most surprising verses, threatening the Muslims for such a punishment. Do they expect but the fact that Allah should come to them in the shades of the clouds and angels, and the matter is decided? Now, what was the situation in Medina? Because we know that no verse of Surah Baqarah was revealed in Mecca. All these verses were revealed in Medina. So this should be about the believers. Do they expect but Allah coming to them and the angels, and the matter is decided, means that the destruction is done? And also, in previous verses, if you remember, Allah was talking to the believers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السَّلْمِ كَافَّةً فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ. Enter into Islam entirely, and if you slip, then Allah is Azizun Hakim. Then suddenly there is a deflection of sentence here, a switch of addressee. Allah leaves them, leaves the believers, and talks to the Prophet here now. هَلْ يَنْدُرُونَ. Do they expect but the fact that Allah would come to them, في ظلل من الغمام والملائكة, in shades of clouds and the angels. Now, so we are talking about an aspect of faith which is usually ignored in our community. And that is, when we talk about believers being protected by Allah, being helped by Allah, believers going to paradise, we talk about true believers. We don't talk about believers who just have believed by tongue and nothing has entered in their hearts. And if those believers who only believers by statement, not by heart, want to really go deep in their mischief, then Allah threatens them as well. That هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ. So this is continuation of the previous verse. فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ, if you slip, فَأَلَمُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْكُمُ الْبَيَانَ, after the bayanat, the Quran, the clear guidance have come to you, O believers, you should know that Allah is mighty, wise. And do they expect هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ. And then the following verse corroborates this idea that this is a sort of warning with regards to the believers in Medina and believers generally. It includes us as well. Now, having said that, what's the meaning of يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ? Allah comes to them in shades of clouds. We know that Allah would not go anywhere, would not come, would not go, because these are the qualities for limited beings. We, to somehow reach a purpose, we have to go somewhere. To reach a place, we have to go somewhere. It's not possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it involves physical limitation, and Allah has no physical limitation. Actual physical existence has its own limitations, and that's why Allah doesn't have any physical limitation. So what's the... All these verses that we have in the Quran, for example, in Surah Fajr, we have وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. They say there is something in taqdeer. There is an ellipsis there, and that is وَجَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ, the command of your Lord comes. And here they put that amr in taqdeer as well. As well, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ. Do they await anything but that Allah's command comes in shades of clouds, clouds which come and brings punishment with them, bring destruction, a storm, things with them. Allah's command comes in that form, and the angels as well would come for punishment, like Jibreel went to punish, for example, the people of Lut, or destroying several cities, behind the scene activity of angels would create these things if it is punishment, not all the time. Of course, all the time, everything in this world works because behind the scene, the angels are working. So, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ. Are they waiting but that Allah's command, أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَ. This is the general explanation of these verses. Of course, by majority of Muslims, there are some very, very literal, zahiri interpreters that they say, no, Allah himself comes, and they believe in such limitations for Allah, coming, going, sitting, standing. These are the things, of course, that the rational understanding of God would not allow us to accept. So Allah's command would come. However, Allama Tabatabai has a very interesting and deep insight into this and says we don't need to take these as figures of speech or to think that there is something which is omitted from the sentence and Allah is not, أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ means أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ أَمْرُ اللَّهُ, the command of God comes. And there's a very sort of detailed discussion in Al-Mizan. He talks about it, and he says that we see that, first of all, we know that every act in this world goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, at the end of this verse as well, it says, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. All the efforts go back to Allah. Now, all the efforts go back to Allah may have two meanings. One is that in Akhirah, everything goes back to him. The other is that anything happening in this world, eventually, after a chain of causes and effects, goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah which actually shakes this chain. Allah which sets this moving. So everything goes back to him, إلى الله ترجع الأمور في الدنيا وفي الآخرة. In this world, in next world, everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he says, if that is the case, we know that Allah sometimes talks about this chain and sometimes he removes this chain and said that he is directly doing it. Like for example, in the verses about taking the souls, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي وَكَّلَ بِكُمْ, the angel of death take your lives. Or those angels who are under the angel of death. So you see this chain of causes and effects. تَوَفَّتْهُمْ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرَّتُونَ, our messengers who are the angels of death working under the great angel of death, the archangel Israel, they take their lives. So we see Allah sometimes talk about the immediate sort of cause, the angels who work under Israel, sometimes attributes it to Israel directly, يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمُوتِ, and then sometimes attributes it to himself directly, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتَى, it's Allah that takes the souls when they die. So this chain, and then this is of course the supernatural chain. If we go to physical chain, the same thing as well. Because all these are empowered by God, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ هُوَ الْمَالِكُ لِمَا مَلَّكَهُمْ, whatever power he has given them, no matter how much he empowered them, he is also the one who has the power. And actually, the empowerment would not conflict the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's in line with that. It goes in a chain which ends up in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he says, after saying this, he says that yes, everything, these clouds coming, for example, for punishment, the clouds which bring storm and sort of destruction, it is Allah which is coming. Allah, but of course, taking all the, we cannot attribute to him things which are limiting, like coming and going like human beings or angels, things like that. But yes, we can attribute him what he wants to do. He can do. He doesn't need any mediation. If we say that, no, he needs mediation, necessarily, we are limiting him. He doesn't need any mediation. And these mediations that Allah has put there, just his blessings. He wants to bless the angels. He wants to bless other things so that they act as mediator. Otherwise, the mediators are nothing or no one. It's all Allah working. So therefore, yes, it's very true to say that Allah is coming to them in form of, in shades of the clouds for punishment. And we have examples of this in the Quran as well. Inna Allah faliqul habbi wan nawa. Allah splits the seed and the grain. Now, we know that this is a sort of physical phenomenon. It is something which we know how it works. But this is Allah does it directly, not with mediation of physical chain and spiritual angel chain. No. Allahu فالق الحب والنوى يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي. And then the end of the verse is very beautiful. ذلكم الله, this is Allah, this is Allah. You cannot see, you only see this chain of causes and effects. No, when the seed is split, when the grain is split and sprouts out of the grain, it is Allah. You don't see him. You just think about this chains and causes that are quite apparent to you. So this verse in Surah An'am is very fascinating. Allahu faliqul hab, inna Allaha faliqul hab wan nawa, yukhrijul hayya min al mayyit wa yukhrijul mayyita min al hayy, he brings out dead from the living from the dead. Dhalikumullah, all you people, listen, this is Allah. But you ignore him, you only see the chains. So Allah Ta'ala says that we don't need to somehow suppose that there is an omission in these type of expressions. And Allah really, if he wanted to say that, he would say that هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْقَمَامِ, Do they expect but that the command of Allah comes in shades of clouds? No, he says Allah is coming, bringing to our attention that Allah exists, is imminent, exists in every cell and atom of this world in a way that we do not know, we do not realize. It is all Him working directly. So, having said that, let's see what the verse says. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ These believers, now, we are talking about the believers who do not entirely enter into Islam. Believers who say we are Muslims, but they do not accept it by the hearts. It's just by tongue that they say. The heart doesn't enter Islam. So do they expect but that Allah comes to them? And this is amazing because it is a warning against the Muslim Ummah. It goes with the verses which have talked to Muslim Ummah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السَّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ If you sleep after these bayinat and clear signs come to you, you should know Allah is mighty and wise. And do they expect but that يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي ظُلَلًا مِّنَ الْقَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ And the matter is decided. The true believers and those who pretend belief are separated from each other. Punishment would come to the false believers. And one more thing which we may actually discuss here is that this is addressed to the companions of the Prophet. So we shouldn't always think that everyone at the time of the Prophet, everyone were good people. Everyone who confessed faith were good people. We are not talking about munafiqun because it says, فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَعَتُمْ It seems that he's talking not about the munafiqun, about the believers who had problems, of course. So it is not the belief only which you have confessed. It is entirely accepting and following, which is important. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ As I said, فَالدُّنْيَا That everything goes back to Allah in that chain of causes and effects. And in Akhirah, because everything returns to Him in Akhirah, and He would judge between them. Then Allah, these verses are very, very interesting and eye-opening, actually. Allah tells the believers, look at the example of Bani Israel now. Now, you have confessed faith, of course, and you say we are believers, we believe in the Prophet, and we are Muslims, because of Islam, we have been somehow given priority over all nations. Now, have I given you priority more than what I gave to Bani Israel? Have I given you bayinat and ayat more than what I gave to Bani Israel? No. But look what happened to them after they somehow just had a superficial faith and using those ayat and using those bayinat for worldly matters, for some sort of racist thought that they had at that time that we, the Jews, are the ones who deserve to have a prophet from among us. And that's why they did not believe in Prophet Muhammad, because he was from Ummiyin, those who were not Jews, the Gentiles. And they said every prophet should be from the Jews and no Gentile prophet would be acceptable to us. Now, verse number 211 says, Sal Bani Israel, kam ataynahum min ayatin bayyina. Now, again, you see the address is to Prophet the hadith is switched now from talking to the believers to the Prophet. Ask the children of Israel how many a manifest sign we had given them, more than what we gave you. But, and whoever changes Allah's blessing after it has come to him, that's the guidance, of course, after it has come to him, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ Allah is severe in retribution. So this verse again refers to فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْكُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ فَأَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ If you slip And if you go out of faith or if you partially believe, then you should know that Allah's punishment is waiting for you. It says, look at the example of Banu Israel. And this is very important. Sometimes people say that, for example, very, very simple-mindedly, all Muslims would go to paradise and all non-Muslims would go to hell. This is absolutely something that Quran rejects. If you mean by Muslims, true Muslims, yeah, that's true. And if you mean by non-Muslim, true kuffar, that's true. But if you mean only names, that someone, because they are born in Muslim community, so they will go to hell, and someone, because they go to paradise, and because they are born in non-Muslim community, they go to hell automatically, that's not the case, of course. The Quran completely rejects this idea. Sal Bani Israel, so ask Bani Israel, how many clear signs from the book, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ Nubuwah was in Bani Israel. And that's why they thought that every prophet should go after Ibrahim, actually, in the area in which Ibrahim lived, in the vicinity. Of course, we don't talk about very faraway lands. In the area, all prophethood was in the children of Ishaq. All the prophethood. That's what the verse says. That we gave them, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحُكْمِ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ All them, we gave it to them, but look what happened to them. All the miracles that we gave to them, all the caring that we had towards them, for example, in the wilderness, what they had, Allah sent them food, Allah sent them water, miraculously, all these. Now, ask them how many we gave them, but see what has happened to them. They are rejecting a prophet that they see their signs, his signs in their book. They are concealing it. They are changing ni'matullah. This guidance that has come to them, they are changing it. So, وَمَنْ يُبَدِّلْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتُهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ Whoever changes Allah's blessing after it's come to him, indeed Allah is severe in retribution, no matter whether they are Banu Israel, no matter whether they are Muslims or any other community. This is a general ruling. It doesn't make any exception. And if Muslims change this, for example, now we are in Muharram, if the Muslims change this and come together and kill the grandson of the prophet, what would Allah do to them? It's certainly the punishment would come to them in one way or another. Now we may not see the face of the punishment, but certainly this punishment came to Muslim Ummah by somehow going a bit farther away from spirituality, indulging in world of material property and things like that. And then gradually, what has happened to Muslim Ummah now? These are because Muslim Ummah has changed ni'matullah. And of course, many Muslims would say, no, this is not true about Muslims. This is something which only happens to the past nations. Anyhow, this is one view. Now, the following verse actually makes it even worse for believers. زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِخَيْرِ حِسَابٍ Worldly life has been glamorized for the faithless. And they ridicule the faithful. But those who are God-weary shall be above them on the day of resurrection. And Allah provides for whomever he wishes without any reckoning. This verse makes a clear distinction between someone who just declares faith and someone who has taqwa. Now, at the beginning, it says, زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا For the faithless, the worldly life has been glamorized. But then after that, it says, وَالَّذِينَ تَقَوْا Not وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا is general. It may include anyone who confesses faith. No. And to those who are God-fearing, God-weary, shall be above them on the day of judgment. Now, again here, there is disagreement about this أَلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا To whom does it refer? الذين كفروا زين للذين كفروا الحياة الدنيا. This كفروا refers to whom? Some exegetes say that it has been revealed in Abu Jahl and other chieftains of Quraysh who were ridiculing and mocking believers like Abdullah ibn Masud, Ammar, Bilal, who were not very well to do, who were poor. However, the verse is revealed in Medina. It is exactly in the context of the verses which is talking to the believers. And we don't know even when these verses were revealed, whether Abu Jahl was still alive or not. So we cannot refer it back to something old in history of Islam and say it has come about them. The other view is that it has been revealed about Munafiqun in Medina, who were ridiculing the poor believers. And the other view is about the Yahud, the Jews in Medina, like Banu Qurayza, Banu Nadir, Banu Qaynuqa. Again, this is not acceptable because the verses are talking about is addressing the believers and talking about different types of believers. It cannot be something referring to Jews in Medina. Now, many of the exegetes have said that الذين كفروا doesn't mean non-Muslims. It means the Muslims who have not entirely entered into faith. It means the Muslims, because kufr means covering, and covering ni'matullah is kufr. We have one technical term for kufr, and that is those who do not believe in Islam. The other meaning of kufr, which is also mentioned in the Quran, is someone who rejects the hidayah that comes to them, although they confess, but they reject. Like, for example, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. The Hajj is prescribed on the believers for those who can afford the means, but whoever becomes kafir to this hukm, it's not kafir, of course, in terms of non-Muslims. It's Muslims who are kafir to this. Now, Allama Tabatabai, Sheikh Mughniyah, and some other exegetes, they say that categorically this is about Muslims. It's not about kuffar. It's about Muslims who again are yubaddiluna ni'matullah, changing ni'matullah. So it is saying why some of the believers behave like that. Some of the believers only want the dunya. Some of the believers talk about dunya very nicely, but when it comes to akhirah, they know nothing. It says because hayatul dunya has been glamorized for the kuffar. Unlike the believers, they are not deceived by the glamours of this world. They do not forget akhirah. But those who have actually somehow ignored the ni'mah of hidayah, they are deceived by the glamours of this world, and in their hearts they ridicule the believers, that they don't know anything about the world, they don't know anything about business, they don't know anything about how they have, for example, find wealth in this world. We are the ones who are finding wealth, no matter if they are Muslims. Sometimes some people, when they see about how, for example, Zionist corporates, they have their tangles everywhere in the world, or economy, everything, they say, why shouldn't us Muslims be like that? Should we be like that, of course? Is this something good, that we oppress everyone, we somehow utilize everyone to somehow for our economical benefit? Is this something good? And we have to really rethink about our faith if we think that this type of power, this type of wealth is good. So this has been زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Now there is something about zina. I have discussed before who has made this tazin, this adornment, this glamorization. Is it shaitan or Allah? And I have mentioned there are certain things that Allah has glamorized for us, what is in our nature, like, for example, having desire for certain desires. And then shaitan uses them to glamorize it more and make dunya our end, not our means. Allah has somehow glamorized certain things in us so that we use dunya as means. Otherwise, we don't use it. Shaitan glamorizes them further to make it our end rather than our means. And that's the confusion between end and means. يَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Again, there is shift between الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا is changed, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and the آمَنُوا are not somehow made in its opposite. Is وَالَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I would like to read something from Tafsir al-Kashif of Mughniya. He says that لَا فَرْقَ إِطْلَاقًا بَيْنَ مَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِوُجُودِ اللَّهِ وبين من يؤمن به نظريا ويؤثر دنياه على آخرته عمليا. There is no difference between someone who does not believe in existence of Allah and someone who believes in existence and then give priority to this world over akhirah. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. They do not choose dunya over akhirah. He says there is no difference between the two. And he says that إني كلما تقدمت وتغلت في تفسير القرآن. No matter how much deep I went into the tafsir of the Quran, the more I went deep in tafsir القرآن, it added to my yaqeen that iman in Allah has no meaning without taqwa. You might just say someone confessed faith, and this is an important thing. This is something which distinguishes us from certain Sunni groups, not all. Of course, there are some Sunni groups who are like us. But certain Sunni groups, they say, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Now, what do we say? We say, Allahumma la'an Abu Sufyan wa Muawiyah, isn't it? There's a great difference here. There's a judgment here. They say we shouldn't judge the believers at the time of the Prophet. كلهم رضي الله عنهم معاوية رضي الله عنه fought against رضي الله عنه علي رضي الله عنه killed طلحة رضي الله عنه and زبير رضي الله عنه. Okay, there is a justification for that. They say that we don't want to judge about people who are past, but if the effects, the impact of what they have done remains, we have to make a judgment then, like Abu Sufyan and Muawiyah. For example, the Sunni Mu'tazilis, they say there's no hesitation for them that Muawiyah was kafir, although he said the kalimatain, shahadatain, although he was a companion of the Prophet. But so there are certain Sunnis who believe, certainly, very clearly, that Muawiyah was a kafir because he broke the pledge and fought against a rightful imam. Now, we have to be careful about this. We shouldn't be deceived. Actually, the Salafis have this idea that the Salaf, the three first generations of Muslims, were the best people in the world. Well, how could they have been the best people in the world when among them was Yazid, and among them was Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, and among them was Umar ibn Sa'd, and Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, and all these people? It's not possible. So here we have something which we have to agree that we disagree. We have to agree that we disagree. Okay, you say Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, but we are taught in Ziyarah Ashura to say Allahumma al-an Abu Sufyan wa Muawiyah, and we shouldn't actually somehow disrespect each other because of this difference in our belief. Wallahu yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. What does this mean, yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab? Allah provides for anyone he wishes without count, inshallah. We will discuss it in our next session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Thank you, Anjani Sheikh. I knew you would leave it at a very crucial point to discuss it later on. But anyway, the debate is open now. You can discuss it further if you want to. Riyadh?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. It's refreshing back to hear you, alhamdulillah, and how these things that we start our Sunday with affects every thing that we do, there are two issues immediately that have cropped up today, which are everyday issues and just gone through my Muharram. So I'll pick up the easy one first, when it says that if you sleep after clear signs, then you must know Allah twice. They are looking for nothing to accept but that Allah comes in His own form. Now, that is a simple one, that we can say it's very easy for God to say He's either the person, the means, or Himself is doing it. I can understand that. But when we go further down, it says, how many signs? Whoever changes the blessings of Allah. This one is now, to me, looking like, do you know when we go through Muharram, sometimes you get clips of Maulana's, and we like to do a bit of Maulana bashing during my Muharram. So say, oh, this person said that, and this, obviously nothing to do with you, yeah? Obviously, yeah, you're a bit above that one, you know, in the ayat, yeah? So then we say that people did things, and it's not true that anybody wants to say the wrong thing because of evil. You see, a lot of them are trying to say what they think is right. Now, do we call them, na'uzubillah, misguided, or do we call ourselves not able to take the knowledge and missing the point and sticking to the little points which are not important? Which one is it? Because increasingly, we have bands of reciters who are classified. That one does this, and that one is traditional, and that one is out to change things. Amongst them, we have thinkers and philosophers. So they are also doing their duty to God in their own way. But then this verse is now disturbing me, because it says, whoever changes the blessings of Allah. And deciphering the Quran in not the correct way, to get to a means, to get to an end. You know, to liberalize something. Somebody might say, no, the ayat actually says this, but it means something else. That person is actually doing it with khulus, so that Islam can then be slightly sort of bent, not changed, but bent towards modernism, towards science, towards so many issues that we face every day. Is there any truth in that if you believe that you're doing the right thing, that is not changing, as it says in this verse? Would you comment?
Well, the intentions are important here. I mean, people may do things with good intention. Nevertheless, good intention doesn't mean that people are right. I mean, we always have to be very careful. Good intention doesn't give truth to anyone. Truth should be found through deep investigation, research, relying on real authorities who have authority in the field. I mean, if someone tells you with a very good intention that use this medicine, it would cure you, and you take it and kills you, you don't say that, well, he had good intention. You may say that he didn't have the authority for that. He didn't have the qualification for that. So it makes really the task difficult. And the task is that we shouldn't accept anything we hear. We should always refer to those that we believe are qualified for these statements. Now, this tabdil, yubaddil ni'matallah, alam tara ila, we have it in Surah Ibrahim as well, alam tara ila alladhina baddalu ni'matallahi kufran. Those who change ni'matullah to kufr. Now, kufr here means what? Means concealing it, rejecting it, changing it to something else, something different. This is certainly about those who intentionally do it for worldly gains. Those who do it unintentionally, it's a bit different, of course. It's a bit different, but in no way good intention would give us the authority to talk about things.
Thank you, Sheikh. But then, Sheikh, sometimes the general public is also doing an unfavor to the other people. Like, you see, they have a preconceived idea of a certain lecturer, and then they might send a little clip of what the discussion is, and then it becomes out of context, and then forward it to everybody, And then it becomes sort of...
that's a different thing.
There are two ways, on the other side as well. That's misleading people. They try to mislead
that's
it.
That's misleading people.
But if you listen to the whole lecture, then the whole picture comes in.
There
are other people that are also misleading. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. How many Maulanas did you bash during Maharaj? Maulanas did you bash during Maharaj?
You know, eclipse like that, and it happens to everyone. There is people out there. Thank you. Sisters? Any sisters? Brother? Yeah? Brother? No. Sheikh, what do you mean by the sign? Does it mean the physical, some kind of appearance sign, or ayat and signs are the same thing or different things?
Well, ayat of Allah are of two kinds. One, the signs that we see around ourselves, and also the miracles that Allah gives to the prophets. This also is ayat. And the other are the statements which guides us to worshiping Him correctly. These are also ayat of Allah. So we have ayat written in the book of the... Book of Revelation, and we have ayat written in the book of creation. Both of them Allah calls ayat.
Okay, then it means that Allah says that after the clear signs have come to you, but we see that in ayat there are different interpretations or different way of practicing things, then what is the clearness in that then?
As I said, this is at the time of the Prophet, isn't it? Allah is talking to the companions of the Prophet, and no one could be confused at the time of the Prophet, isn't it? There were clear signs, no one would have any disagreement. Now, later on, of course, things may have changed, the ayat may have been confused. That's a different thing. Certainly, Allah would judge those who have come after and are confused in different way than those who were at the time of the Prophet. They were not confused, and they were still doing things that they were doing. Now, about the Jews in Medina, for example, they changed the ayat of Allah. He said, because the verse is referring us back to the Jews. Sal bani Israel kam ataynahum min ayatin bayyina wa man yubaddil ni'mat Allah kufran. Yubaddil ni'mat Allah. They had given numerous signs of the Prophet, peace be on him. They had given numerous ayat that the man who comes to you, first of all, is not a Jew. Secondly, these are his qualities. This is where he migrates. This is how he starts. It was all there. As I said before, the Torah they were reading was different from the Torah we are reading now. So they changed this to kufr. Because Prophet was not a Jew, they disbelieved in it. They concealed it. They changed it, actually, so that the ordinary people, the lay people, would not become Muslims.
But you see, for example, when we are here and we are listening to you, and different people will maybe understand it differently and then interpret it differently, although we are here, present in front of you. So could that not have even happened in the time of the Prophet, that people who hear it, okay, as far as Allah is concerned, there are clear signs, but people understand it differently, interpret it differently, and then hence the whole message is then gone out differently, interpreted, acted.
It's somehow difficult to imagine that, because prophets sometimes issued very direct commands and they ignored it. It was not a matter of interpretation. They ignored it, like for example, the Prophet said that everyone should go to Tabuk, all right? But many of the Muslimun, especially Munafiqun, and some of the believers that Quran mentions, for example, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلَّفُوا, they didn't go. Despite all that clear instructions, encouragements, warnings, they didn't go. So there was no point of confusion or interpretation. Therefore, it's very difficult to imagine that at the time of Prophet there was such sort of confusions.
Because you see, the back of my mind is about this appointment of Imam Ali alayhi salam, at the time of Ghadir and Qum.
At the time, there was no confusion whatsoever. Yeah. Later on, confusions came, of course. Later on, confusion. But at that time, it was very clear, according to our riwayat, people gave bay'ah to Imam Ali. Bay'ah means what? Bay'ah doesn't mean that you are my friend, or, for example, you are the friend of the Bir. No, they gave bay'ah. At that time, it was clear, and this is what Imam Ali has mentioned several times, based on our riwayat. Of course, Sunni riwayat, you know, that's why things are confused, isn't it? We have different accounts now. So we are less accountable, whether Shia or Sunni, less accountable for what we believe in now than those who were at the time of the prophets. Yes, Salaf, as we call them, Salaf al-Saleh, Salaf are more accountable for what they did. More accountable, not that they are not accountable at all. Everyone did according to their ijtihad. This is what the Prophet says about the wives of the Prophet, isn't it? Ya nisa an-nabi man ya'ti min kunna bifahishatin mubayyana yudha'af laha al-adhabu dhi'fayn. If you commit a sin, then the punishment is twice, because you live in the house of the Prophet. You are with the Prophet. For the companions of the Prophet, I think it's the same. Their sort of account, their what they been, how they are questioned by Allah is different from us, because we don't live in that time. We are not quite clear about it.
Thank you. Any brothers, sisters, anybody? No? I suppose you want to wait for the next session to become more debatable. Okay. Thank you, Muhammad Wali, Muhammad Salawat.